And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Going to bring on a friend of mine. Jeff Poor is the a talk show guy at FM Talk 106.5 down in the Mobile Baldwin County area. He has been on my show weekly now as a part of what we call the Grand Council, and then occasionally we just get on there and go back and forth and opine with each other about different topics. But he's also just recently been named as the executive editor for 1819 News, and I'm excited to hear that. Ray Mellick retired, and the great opportunity here arose for them to grab Jeff Poor and say, Jeff, leave Breitbart, come to work with us. So Jeff Poor is on the line right now. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for making time. Hey, listen, I wanted to talk about, and I just named my segment of the show today, hashtag AL Politics, but we've got most recently, this past weekend, there were meetings of the state Republican Party, meetings of the state Democrat Party, and there's even articles out there saying that the Libertarians now have party ballot access to the Alabama ballots. So take them one at a time, because I think there's been a power shift back to the old school ways in the Democrat Party. What do you think?
Definitely. You're on to something there. Joe Reed's synonymous with Democratic Party politics for 60, almost 70 years.
Yeah.
And really, Joe Reed is the black power structure in this state. He is a longtime party boss. That if you want the African-American vote in Alabama, Joe Reed has ways of making it happen. For whatever the means or methods or tactics, Joe Reed's the guy. And so 2 years ago, Chris England takes over the Alabama Democratic Party. It was a coup. They defeated Joe Reed. Nancy Worley, the late Nancy Worley, and 2 years of Chris England did not produce very meaningful results, as promised and then hoped. In fact, I think things might have gotten, at least on the scoreboard, a little worse, even though in this state, the Democrats are struggling because you have an unpopular Joe Biden and an unpopular Nancy Pelosi pulling down their effort. But anyway, Joe Reed capitalizes on it, and then last Saturday in Birmingham at the state executive committee meeting, lo and behold, Reed gets his guy in charge, and that's where we are today.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think people need to realize, too, Joe Reed is not just the guy who has been, like, truly a party boss. I mean, like, if you want to talk about party boss, that's a party boss of the Democrat Party for a long, long time. He was also forever and ever the number two man at the teachers union at the AEA. He was front and center for what it took to make Alabama politics look bad.
Yeah, and you know, he was a villain, and he was a guy that Republicans looked at. You know, he and Paul Hubbard they were giants of Alabama politics at one time. But, you know, back in the day, Senator, you remember... Remember what it was like being in the minority? You remember when this state was Democrat-controlled? It wasn't that long ago, pre-2010. And those two guys were always like, well, we can never get control of the legislature as long as those two guys are kind of running the show.
Yeah. And so it was more than just – they got a guy named he's a pastor. Last name Kelly. I just lost his first name in my mind here. But Kelly – yeah, that's right. Here it is. Chris England being replaced now by Pastor Randy Kelly, who pastors a church in Huntsville, who has said that he's been a part of the Democrat Party and active in party politics now since the 70s, but he's going to bring a fresh wind, he says. So since the 70s, but he's going to be all about the newness.
Well, the newness didn't work. They tried the woke. They tried what? The alphabet soup of LGBTQ. They tried finding every minority, checking every box. And guess what? That just didn't mean anything at the ballot box. So, I mean, this Democratic Party politics is hieroglyphics to me. But I guess it's going to go back to the old ways of, you know, and we can talk about the old ways, extorting candidates for money to get out the black vote. But that's essentially what it is.
Well, and before we leave the Democrat Party issues on the hashtag AL politics scene, one story from 1819, actually, I think Brandon Mosley reported on this one, says that actually the Democrat Party here in the state of Alabama is almost insolvent once again. I mean, a few years ago under Nancy Worley, they almost couldn't pay their light bill. And right now, they're looking at another cash crisis. They've only got like $25,000 on hand, and they lost their executive director.
Well, they ever paid a bunch of salaries for Chris Ingram. You know what, Wade Perry was earning like $160,000 a year or something, and just didn't do much with it. He was obviously the guy who won Doug Jones that got credit for it. He was a campaign manager, so I guess he deserves credit for it. But they just didn't do much with it, and the old regime kind of left behind air coverage. But again, they get money from qualifying fees. There's ways the Democratic Party makes money. It's just in this circumstance, Senator, they seem to spend it all on salaries and other overhead.
And I'll be honest, I guess parting shot here on the Democrat issue is I really expected more out of Chris Ingram, but this meeting they had this past weekend was actually even the first meeting they've had in the 2 years that he's actually been, you know, the party chairman. I mean, it's been a nothing burger for like, and I really expected it to do different, you know, have a different stroke, but it didn't work out that way. Sure didn't.
Remember when he was on your podcast back in the old 1890s podcast?
Yeah.
I talked about it. And it nothing ever happened out of it. And people had such expectations and, you know, young blood. And I just guess he was overextended with his legislative duties and his law practice. And, you know, you run an entire state party. That's a lot. That's a big ask.
It's a big ask, but he also asked for the job. Well, listen, switch gears. Republican Party, they had their meeting this past weekend. A lot of things there. I mean, and there's always, you know, inside a party, there's always going to be different opinions, different factions, but they actually got some resolutions passed, one of which is the Republican Party passed a resolution calling for closed primaries. Your thoughts?
I think it's the most significant thing they did. There were some other tweaks to some rules, you know, with how you qualify for the county parties or to be a member of the executive committees and whatnot, but the closed primaries was very significant. They did not get into specifics. They said, we're going to leave the specifics up to the legislature of how to institute a closed primary system. But by an overwhelming 81% to 19% margin, they said, we need closed primaries in this state, and we need them sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I saw, too, you wrote an article yesterday, came out in 1819, so House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels, who's in the state house from the Huntsville area, Democrat, he went on Capitol Journal and actually said that he thinks that this closed primary would put Democrats back in charge in the next 20 years. Interesting thought. What do you think about that?
So, and he comes out opposing closed primaries, and he goes through all, you know, all the reasons, like, well, if you're an independent voter, you ought to have the opportunity to vote in wherever you like, and yada, 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 yada. And then he says that at the end, well, if he is a Democrat that is true to wanting to win elections and thinking that Democratic Party policies are the best way to improve quality of life, to better the nation, to better the country, then wouldn't he be for closed primaries if it's going to put Democrats back in charge of Alabama in 20 years?
You'd think he would, but yeah, he was talking out both sides of his mouth in this particular conversation. He literally said, I don't like this. I don't stand for it, but I do believe it's going to put us back in power. So, I mean, what do you like, Anthony? I don't get it. Well, all right. Hey, listen, man, but one thing that was interesting to me was the Republican Party also passed a bylaw. I'm not sure if you caught this one. It was one of those kind of in the background kind of things. They've got a new bylaw that literally would, they call it the sore loser rule, that you cannot, first of all, their bylaws already say you can't support a Democrat candidate for 6 years. You can't come back then and be a member of the state executive committee. But they also passed a thing called the sore loser rule that says that if you lose in the Republican primary, you can't go out then and do a write-in campaign for yourself against the person you lost to in the Republican primary. It's a sore loser rule. You lost a primary, live with it, move on. Your thoughts on that?
I already thought there was something like that, because if you're not supporting the Republican candidate on a general election ballot, you're supporting someone like yourself in a write-in campaign, and then does that nullify your membership in the Republican Party? But anyway, there's a bunch of write-in campaigns, Dean Odell, Kimberly Butler. I think there's one or two others that are considering it. So, you want to be a part of the club, you got to stick with the club, and the club makes a decision who's going to represent the party on the ballot.
Well, and I get it. I mean, and it wasn't necessarily one particular candidate that made the big write-in, but you know, it was a write-in campaign that many people felt like is what was the undoing of the Republican candidate Roy Moore, and swept Doug Jones into office.
Yeah, there's something to that. I mean, how many people wrote in Nick Saban? I think if they ended up that. You know, I mean, but that's for real though. But you know, everybody, obviously Richard Shelby, he wasn't voting for Roy Moore. He's running a distinguished Republican. That didn't help Roy Moore and didn't help the Republican cause in its biggest defeat in probably the last decade and a half, I'd say
at least. Well, listen, man, last few minutes here, but article on AL.com. I got to go there sometimes, but they run an article that says, "Here come the libertarians," and talk about how Alabama voters are bracing, they say, for the return of a third party after a 20-year absence. So what do you think? I mean, they got a bunch of signatures. They got statewide ballot access for libertarian candidates. Are there any places in the state where they're going to actually make a wave towards a win?
I watched the governor, Jimmy Blake, a guy who's been in Birmingham politics for ever since I was a child. I remember when he was on the city council there, running against, you know, Kay Ivey's going to win that, and she's going to win it by a big margin, but Yolanda Flowers is not exactly an inspiring candidate. I think there's enough Republican voters who will say, oh, they don't like Ivey, and they will turn their nose up, and they'll throw a ballot at Jimmy Blake. And that's probably one of those where libertarians, I think, would show the most strength. In that, probably raise an eyebrow or two, you know, guys like us that follow this. But if you're excited about a libertarian candidate, that's probably your best bet.
Yeah, I mean, they've apparently got some local races even, but like somebody said, there are 65 libertarian candidates running throughout the state, even down to the sheriff level and that kind of thing. So it's gonna be interesting, but I don't think it's gonna wind up being a true, you know, tour de force in this particular election. I wonder where it will go in the future, but right now I think it's just going to be they made it on the ballot, and I think it's about as far as it goes.
Yeah, well, I'll say this real quick. I think it's much different than the last time they were on the ballot. There does seem to be maybe a reason to think they can get, you know, a few more percentage points than they got the last time around.
Yeah. All right, my brother, Jeff Poor, new executive editor at 1819 News, also on FM Talk 106.5 down the coast with the morning show. We appreciate you. Thanks for your time, bud.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. We'll come back and spend a little more time on this hashtag AL politics, sort of do a little few deeper dives on some of the things that Jeff and I just talked about. What do y'all think? If you want to call in, tell me, are you thinking the Libertarian Party is going to be a thing? How do you feel about the fact that the old party boss, Joe Reed, is now back in charge of the Alabama Democrat Party? Because he is. Old school stuff, man. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.